Welcome back to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. This week, we are wrapping up our Western Conference breakdown with the Central. You're going to hear all of our hottest takes and opinions on the team's projections. Ignore the fact that the season has already started. We'll be back next week to talk more about that. But for now, without further ado, please enjoy our Central Division breakdown.
Can we just skip one team?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, because either whichever team, it doesn't even matter. There's a couple teams I could take this different angle. Either it's going to be fun to kick them because they're down, or because you're dogging them and they deserve their due. So let's start off with the pride of Arizona State.
Yeah.
Your Coyotes.
My Coyotes.
The listener, they're everyone's team now. You know, they're playing for school lunch money. This is a fun fact before we dive into it, is that they're playing in that university arena. I think it's 5,000 seats maxed. Yeah. Anybody that's thinking about how that would be interesting, they might want to go check it out. The tickets are actually more expensive than most hockey tickets because they're trying to make more money based on the fact they have fewer tickets. So if you were thinking about it, it would be fun to pop down and see a terrible team play in that sort of situation and be a part of history in that way. Know that you're going to be paying top level prices for that depressing historic novelty. But I think it's fair to say they're going to be bad. I think it's very fair. I would suggest that there's probably going to be, you know, practices where ASU kicks their butt. They've got the lead in the Bedard running by far.
Really?
They're the worst team in the league. Not only, but I mean, they're built for that. That's what they're built for right now. They've got a ton of draft picks coming up in the future. They've got a lot of things to sort out before they ever worry about the product on ice. I think the only thing that for me that's remotely interesting for them this year, because they're going to be a basement team, they're going to be losing all the time, is if Karel Vejmelka, and gosh, I hope I pronounced it even remotely close, has any kind of a decent season, which is going to be hard back there. But if he has any kind of a good season, I think he would be a prime candidate to be traded away for a ransom.
Well, they just snagged that Ingram guy from Nashville today off of waivers. Who is not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
Vejmelka's got 2 years at just over $2 million.
I know.
He's like 26, so he's just hitting his stride.
Yeah. What's this
put,
chicken?
Put your mind here. Imagine he's playing well. Imagine Toronto's struggling. They trade Matt Murray for him to clear Murray's salary off the books. They throw in a draft pick. They've got this guy is at least under 2 years under contract. They make a better run of it. Calling it now. Vejmelka to Toronto at the trade deadline.
See, I think it's going to be chicken to Toronto. I really do.
Oh, I don't see it. I do think that Dubas is a complete wild. Sorry, everybody. I really think Dubas is going to pull it. I think he's going to try to do something pretty big this year. And for some reason, I feel like it's going to be trading Murray to Arizona or maybe Chicago. If Chicago had anything to give back to them, but probably Arizona for Vejmelka.
I don't know what to say about this team. Like I had something. It's just kind of like crap, though. It's I don't know. It's again, we just talked about where teams are in their life cycle. This team feels like ever since that giant GM hooped them with the training, you know, cheating, scouting and all that kind of stuff. It just feels like they're in a complete cycle of distraught, I don't even know, fan base, organizational dumpster fire. I don't know. They got Zach Cassian. Like, cool. Like, I feel bad for Clayton Keller. That kid is electric. He's electric. He seems to love it down there. But, man, it's just there's no centers. They just snagged Juuso Välimäki. We'll see where he goes. They just snagged Ingram. This team is building its team through the waiver wire. Like
and making improvements.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. I don't know where they are. They're gonna allow a lot of goals. They're not gonna be in many games. And yeah, that's where they are. That's my the players already hate playing at the college. There's already reports that they're not happy. Go figure. Nobody's shocked. It's just a dumpster fire. That's all it is. Arizona Coyotes, dumpster fire. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, fans. And there is
there's no comparison to that I can think of in all of professional sports, North American history, to the vanity project failure that is hockey in Arizona.
Yeah.
The team has moved around to different locations in its short life. They're actively not wanted by anyone in any real shape or form. They've yet to really ingratiate themselves as something that people want to watch. It's bad. That was actually my first and only real note for them until I got interested in Karel Vejmáka becoming trade bait for somewhere. It was just bad. Bad, period. That was it. Bad. Nothing else to say. Top to bottom, whole organization. Sorry, Keller. Sorry, Bitch. Moving on to, I guess, the other team that I thought you might not want to talk about. And we don't have to talk about them for even nearly as long because they're not as interesting. The Chicago Blackhawks. The only thing I think that's remotely, well, there's two things that I think are going to have our attention this year.
Right.
And one of them I'm looping is whether or not Cannon Taves get moved or agree to be moved anywhere.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I saw today that was really interesting is that they only have two players signed past the 23-24 season right now. Only two players in their entire roster, professional roster right now, they're signed past two seasons.
Is it Seth Jones and Connor Murphy?
It is.
Is it? I was looking at Daily Faceoff's lineup, and I'm like, those seem to be the only two.
Yep, that's the only two, and it blew me away. I was like, that's clearly there's some intent there, you know, with the way that they're operating. And I mean, the stink of everything that they've done and their failure to take care of human beings in any way, shape, or form is not going to leave the franchise no matter how hard they reboot. But they are rebooting real hard. I still don't think they can catch Arizona in a race to the bottom because Arizona's just experienced at losing.
I think they win.
It's ingrained.
I think this is the worst team in hockey.
Wow.
Hands down. The worst team. I give Arizona goaltending. I don't think Patrick Kane is going to be there long. Rightfully so. Give him Bedard, which they shouldn't. They don't even deserve Bedard. They don't deserve Bedard, but I just have like this sick feeling in my stomach that the Chicago Blackhawks are going to get Connor Bedard.
Yeah, they're going to get rewarded. They're going to fix the draft. The NHL will fix it for them because they're one of the original six. They're going to do it.
And here's the worst part. Yeah, they're a huge market. Huge NHL market. It's like Crosby and Pittsburgh. Same type of weird fondling of the lottery balls is going to be happening.
Excellent choice of words.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So bad.
It's so bad. This team is gross. And here's the best thing. A lot of the times when you see these rookies coming into the NHL and the ones that have success, there's usually a foundation put in place in that roster, in that team. And what we just witnessed with Buffalo was that they're doing what Chicago's doing right. They did what Chicago's doing right now. Give goalies left-handed sticks, give players opposite sticks, all that kind of stuff. We're going to suck and we're going to get Connor McDavid and everything will be good. Well, they got a hell of a consolation prize in Jack Eichel. Hell of a consolation prize. Did not go well. There was no foundation. There was just, we got Jack Eichel. Now we need to speed run this and try to get to the playoffs. It doesn't work. It never works. Chicago's got to be careful. They got nothing. They're basically going to take Connor Bedard if they get him. put him on the team and be like, this is your team. And he's going to be standing there alone. What's my team? There's nobody on this team. You're giving me Seth Jones? Are you kidding me? This guy's terrible. Connor Murphy. Thanks, Connor. How are you? That's the wrong Connor. Like, no, this is, I don't know. That's where I see them. I think this team is terrible. I think this, like, at least Arizona has a little bit of a plan. Like, they have, like, they drafted really well the last couple of years, and you're going to start to see that in the next couple of years. This seems trash. Light them on fire. Yeah. Burn the, sell the team, do all that stuff. I don't know. I hate them. I don't want to talk about them anymore. Sorry.
The Chicago Arizona battle right now for the bottom reminds me of South Park episode where the boys didn't want to play softball, so they started to try to play bad, and then they went up against a team that actually perfected losing, and that was like their big joke was like, we were trying not to win, and they learned how to lose better. And so it's just, that's what reminds me. Arizona's that team that's like, Chicago is just new to this. They're like, oh, we'll just dump everything, we'll be fine, we'll make that happen.
They traded a 24-year-old two-time 40 goal scorer for nothing, a first round pick. That's what they traded for. Why would you get, like, you know you're going for Connor Bedard when you do that. You know you are.
Hey, maybe they're going to move the team.
They ain't moving the team. That team's a huge market.
Yeah.
Top-five market.
Yeah. I think they probably know about some player contract unrest coming in the near to not too distant future, and they're just going
to
be.
I wonder which one of them is going to be allergic to sweat. Do you think Jones is going to do that? Get him on LTIR forever. Yeah. Sorry, Marion host. That was a jab at you. Okay.
Moving up the standings in my eyes to a team that probably going to be a bubble-ish team, maybe, but the Winnipeg Jets, bubble-ish, I say. I think that there's a lot of talent in and around that team. I think that that team seems to have been, by all rights, coming out of a very toxic room. You know, when your coach leaves halfway through the year because he's tired of all your bull, and your longtime captain gets stripped of the captaincy, but comes back, it's not great. The good news, I think, for Winnipeg is that in 2 years, Blake Wheeler's contract is done. Blake Wheeler will probably be gone, and most of your other best players will still be there and still in their prime. So there's quite a good potential that Winnipeg's going to have something to look forward to. This is not that season, in my opinion. Winnipeg is probably going to be missing the playoffs pretty handily, especially just given some of the other teams we talked about and the teams we're about to talk about. I just don't think they match up right now, and especially with a new coach who, you know, no disrespect, but I don't think he's going to be the one to fix it all in 1 year.
I believe probably not to the same level of success that the Calgary Flames had last year. I believe the Winnipeg Jets will be this year's Calgary Flames. I don't buy the Blake Wheeler slander. I don't buy it. You've yet to see a big name other than Evander Kane ask to be out of Winnipeg. That room has always been tight.
How many big names have come through Winnipeg?
Are you kidding me? Dustin Byfuglien didn't want to leave Winnipeg. Like, retired instead of getting traded.
Byfuglien retired because he couldn't get back down to playing weight.
Shit, I wasn't going there. You did.
Sorry. Buff is about 2 to 3 times my size, but...
Probably three times.
Yeah, probably three at like time of recording.
I really think that this team is solid in defense. I think it's got a great goaltender, Connor Hellebuck. I think whatever happened last year with injuries, I don't think these past COVID years have been like, for some teams, especially it seems to be Canadian market teams, was a real struggle. You saw that, which is fair. Like, restrictions are restrictions. It's what it was. I just think this team is going to be good. I think Cole Perfetti is going to be good. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to take a step. Mark Scheifele is going to be Mark Scheifele. I think we're going to have a, and this is no reason because I drafted him in my fantasy league. I think Blake Wheeler is going to have like a revenge season, and everybody's sleeping on Kyle Connor. Yeah. He doesn't play defense. Who cares? He's going to score 45. He just is. that like lengthy guy, you know, not no resemblance to me because I'm 6'7", 225 pounds, but he's going to score 45. I think
what's Pierre-Luc Dubois' contract status?
Oh, man. Still, hey.
Just because you mentioned big names.
Are we going to say Pierre-Luc Dubois is like the best room guy? Like, are we saying that now?
I'm not saying he's the best room guy, but I mean...
Like, didn't he just, like, leave Columbus? Like, basically forced his hand out of Columbus?
Can you blame him? I mean, you know...
Hey, Johnny...
Outside of Johnny Gaudreau, I don't think not many people are chasing down to get to Columbus. And
Patrick Laine just signed long-term in Columbus. I don't know. I'm not putting any stock into Pierre-Luc Dubois as, like, the best room guy. I don't know. I'm high on the Winnipeg Jets. I just am. Yeah. I think last year everybody was like, they're going to win a cup. They're that good. Pierre-Luc Dubois, name better centers. I think you're going to see it this year. A full mix. An actual head coach sticking around all year. Paul Maurice. Yeah, that was the most badass thing I've ever seen. He was like, I'm out before I get fired. But he also left his team high and dry. Like, I'm just saying, I'm high on the Winnipeg Jets. Give them to me.
In a complete bubble, not like a COVID bubble, but a complete, you know, bubble of anything, just nothing else. They do. They've got really excellent defensive depth and high-end talent. I believe that Connor Hellebuyck can be a top 10, maybe even better goaltender. And I think they've got a lot of talent in the forwards, but like you're looking at the division, we're looking at the division and there's five teams left that I think are better than they are and that are going to beat them.
Five. So,
well, four. And one of them that finished higher than them last year. So I don't know. All right, fair enough. I don't think that Winnipeg is going to be a contender this year, but I do think that they're not far off.
No,
I think they just need to get rid of that Blake Wheeler contract and that Blake Wheeler guy and spend some money on some other talented players.
You have a guy that's like chosen Winnipeg his whole life or like most of his career. And you're like, now he's the problem. He loved us too much.
Like, I mean, he didn't, what is,
like, no, what
we're
is,
not gonna go to this, they're not going to go down this rabbit hole. No disrespect to him. No disrespect to that team. I don't know where we're giving him credit for loving being there when they haven't won anything.
He's never. Oh my God!
What do you need a guy to stick around for if you're just going to be a losing team, anyways?
They have been a very good team for a lot of
years. They had been a good team for a year or two.
One bad year. Oh man. Okay, let's go. We're not firing this Winnipeg.
They
back and forth.
They're like a Costco version of the San Jose Sharks in their prime.
Oh, okay, actually, that's okay. That's fair. I'll take that. That's not bad.
Yeah. Let's move on. And I said there's five teams that are probably going to be better than them. Then I corrected it to four. Here's the team that I think could finish ahead of them, but maybe not. Of the teams that left, the Dallas Stars, I think, are the least impressive, which is, you know, there's a lot of great teams left to discuss. But the Dallas Stars, I think they're on a bubble. They're on the bubble. They're a team in transition that doesn't want to accept it. They've got some really, really high-end young talent in Robertson and Ottinger, and they've got they've got some older guys that, Pavelski is ageless, and, you know, Sagan, I think it'll be interesting to see if he, last year coming off that surgery, the hip issue, I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do with this season, if he can maybe find a little bit more of his own form. Jamie Benn, former, I believe, Art Ross trophy winning Jamie Benn, probably not going to bring that version of himself back, but hey, he's still a big body that can get in there and, I don't know, distract people and fight people for no reason. But I think what it comes down to is we talked a little bit previously about a team's identity, and I think that this team's identity is confused. And I think part of that is a toxic leadership in the ownership. And the reason that I bring that up is that most hockey teams, on average, hockey fans have no idea who owns them outside of maybe the diehards of that team or some people that are really into it. And to be frank, I'm not sure if I could name five owners or ownership groups in the NHL. I can't even name this guy, but I know he's a douchebag who calls out his superstars and says that they're dog shit mid-season.
Yeah.
And then in the off-season, when he's got two young superstars, RFAs, that need to re-sign, complains about young players wanting money. Who wants to go and work for this guy? Like, if granted, they got them under contract. They're restricted free agents. They didn't have a lot of weight they could throw around there. But these guys should be the future of your team. And these other players who were the backbone of your team that made it to a Stanley Cup, who that were contending for a few years there. And that's just how quickly you're going to go out to the media and be the hockey's Jerry Jones. It doesn't work for Jerry. It doesn't work in the NHL either. And I think that is not the sole reason and not the only reason, but I think that's going to permeate, and it does permeate through the entire culture of the team. And that's why they're a bubble team at best, despite their talent.
I think you said that beautifully. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what the Dallas Stars are. I will say this. Jason Robertson just pulled a Matthew Tkachuk and has put all the power in his court. When that contract's done, he's got all the power. So this owner that slighted him now, just wait. Like, it's karma comes quick, right? Like, we're now in this age where players are taking over the power. Just never used to be in the hockey world, right? It was always the teams had the control. You're starting to see a shift a little bit here. I don't know what they are. I have no idea what they are. I think if Tyler Seguin, like, everybody's like, oh, can you believe they're paying Tyler Seguin that amount of money? That guy was worth every dime of that contract. Every dime. He got hurt. Oh my gosh. That sucks. He had a rough year. He still didn't play horrible. He had a rough year last year. Coming back from hip surgery. I don't know. If Tyler Seguin can find his form again and even become like 75% of the player, they're probably a playoff team every year. Like, that team's still deep. Mason Marchman's a great add. Jamie Benn is still a stud at what he does. I'm not going to say he's going to pot you 40. He's probably not going to pot you 30, but he's going to get you a lot of, he's going to draw a lot of penalties. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to forecheck like a beast. I think Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, and Joe Pavelski, great line. Second best line in hockey last year, analytically. So, and Jake Oettinger, amazing. Is everything going to mesh? And I still think they have Miro Heiskanen, who is, like, for some reason, underrated, makes no sense to me. Yeah, what are the Dallas Stars? Probably a bubble team, just like you said. It all depends on what type of game Pete DeBoer plays.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on to Nashville, the Preds. Oh man, this is a team that I definitely dogged them a bunch last year. And I think if UC Saros doesn't go down right around the time of playoffs, that we've been eating a lot more crow. I think that they're still kind of a bubble team. They're a playoff bubble team. I don't know if they're really a contender, but I really think it hinges on whether or not Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene can duplicate what they did last year. They'd both been kind of offering pretty weak returns on their salary and on the line and on their ice time. But last year they really pulled it together. The team around them, I don't know how it worked, but it was magic for them. And UC Saros back there is a monster. Their defense is top notch. As long as they've got UC and Yossi, they've got a chance to win most nights, I think. And you put that forward play, Granlund's playing well. Man, as I said, I don't think that they're a contender, but I think that they're a playoff team. And yeah, if Saros stays healthy, if Roman stays healthy, they could definitely cause some problems in the playoffs.
See, you say that, and scoring was up last year, the highest it's been since 1995, which is they were a huge, contributor to that. They scored a lot of goals, a lot of career years for a lot of overaged players. Like, that usually you see those career years are past them. They added Nino Niederreiter to a great cap, basically stole him. I think this team misses the playoffs. I just do. I love their defense. I think their center depth is weak. I think Ryan Johansson comes back to reality. I think Colton Sissons comes back to reality. I hope Cody Glass takes a step. And I think Philip Forsberg. Wow. We've been talking for a while here. Mouth's a little dry. Takes a step back. Yeah, it's just I have the Nashville Predators missing the playoffs.
Wow. Wow. All right. I mean, fair enough. If you are not a fan of UC Saros, I get it. On the record, Tyler does not believe in UC, and that's fine. It's okay. It's not even that hot of a take.
No, Tyler hates Short King. Hates him. Freaking just got a tattoo of him on my thigh. I'd show you, but this is PG.
All right. Let's move on to the Minnesota Wild, who I really don't care for because they outperformed my expectations last year. And they were actually, I think, early on some of our first episode or two. One of my favorite things we got to talk about was how ridiculous it was that they're going to be paying so much money for Parise and not Suter. Is it Parise and Suter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the buyouts. Insane amount of money. And they still made it work. And they still made it work. They were one of the best teams in hockey last year. It irks me to no end. They've managed to put it back together in the same way going into this year. They've got Fleury there instead of Talbot for most of the season last year.
Improvement.
Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know. I think that Talbot's more steady. Fleury, I think you never really know what you're going to get, but he's still playing at a relatively high level, it seems, for the most part. I think with the forward core, they're still really good. They still don't have the big center or the top-end center depth that a lot of the other top teams have to compete with, but I think they're very good. I think they've got a pretty solid defense, and I think that they're going to play well enough that they should be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to be a cup contender. I'd be interested to see how they keep this going. I mean, I can't look away because they've just next year, this year it's $12 million. Next year it's $14 million in dead cap space. And Fleury's, I think, 40 years old. They've got him for 2 years. I don't think there's any real goaltending prospect behind them. So I have no idea what they're going to do if Fleury can't find it. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm looking at like a fairy tale or a car crash, but I can't look away either way.
They did draft Wallstead, what was it, 2 years ago? And he's a top goalie prospect. So he should be amazing. Like he's highly projected. But again, goaltenders are never guaranteed. I don't know what they are. Like regression's got to hit them. No? Regression has to hit them?
I guess so.
Like you look at it, you're like, okay, is Ryan Hartman going to be Ryan Hartman of last year? Is Joel Eriksson Ek going to be Joel Eriksson Ek? I would bet my money Joel Eriksson Ek will be better than Ryan Hartman. I'll take that to the bank. Marco Rossi has led the preseason in points, made the team. He's a stud. Matt Boldy, everybody there is praying he's going to take another step. Well, he should be taking another step. I don't know what they are. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. That's pretty easy to guarantee that. But are they going to be as high as they were last year? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Again, defense is good. Good guy, Jared Spurgeon, right? You're a big fan.
Dirtbag.
I love Marc-Andre Fleury. Kirill Kaprizov is the superstar Minnesota always wanted. It's hard for me to look at that buyout cost of Parise and Suter and be like, yeah, they're going to get better. You know, trade deadline, they're going to get better. How? Where's this cap at? I just don't see it. Probably they're going to be number two, number three easily in the Central. I guess not easily because I have the Winnipeg Jets, you know? I don't know. Again, the Central's so strange because there's so many teams that are like similar level. And you could basically rotate a lot of them in and out. Like, it's the toughest division to predict because, like, again, last year, everybody predicted Winnipeg Jets. I think it was Frank Saravelli predicted them to win the cup. And then they fell right out.
Yeah.
Right? And that could be easily the Minnesota Wild this year. That could be easy, not St. Louis, but any of these teams can fall in, fall out, injuries, anything like that. there's so many teams in the Central other than those two bottom teams that are like so close. There's so much parity. There's Colorado Avalanche and then a slugfest of like the same teams. And that's where Minnesota is.
Yeah. No, I spot on. I think that's really is what's going on in that division as well, is that there are so all those teams that are, you know, have their questions, have their weaknesses, but also have some really high end talent and some ways they can win hockey. And then they're playing a lot of games against each other. So it feels like last year, they just really couldn't separate from one another at all until the playoffs came around. So it's going to be exciting, but yeah, I don't think that there's outside of Colorado. I think, like you said, there's four or five teams there that you could just jumble them in any which way, grab two or three of them, say that they're in the playoffs, and it'd be easy enough to, you know, walk that back and be like, okay, I guess this makes sense. It may be not what I expected, but I can see how it makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's do my St. Louis Blues next.
Yeah, sure.
And I'd be interested to hear, we'll save the Stanley Cup champs for last. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on the Blues. I know mine, you know, I'm dialed in. I know the front to back, but from an outside source, what do you see? What are you hearing?
This might be, and this is going to sound hot take-ish, star power. I don't think this team has the most star power in the Central Division. That title belongs to the Colorado Avalanche. This might be the deepest team in the Central. The deepest. Even their defense, like, is Torrey Krug great? No, but he's playing second line, right? Again, is he amazing? No, but there's so much, I don't know, there's so much goal scoring on this team. The top freaking 12 is amazing. How many are going to score 20 this year? I don't know. Robert Thomas going to take another step, probably. Vladimir Tarasenko is fighting for his next contract. Okay, well, that's electric, right? How many is he going to pop? Jordan Kyrou, up-and-coming star. Jake Neighbors, if he makes it, you would know more than me. Did he make it? Let's see.
They sent him down to Springfield, but they still have to put Perunovic and Scandella on IR, which I think will allow them to bring it. That's the thought. Is
yeah, because he was on. He was in line rushes today.
Yeah.
So is it, that's
contractually, he's gone down, but they expect him to be there on opening night.
Again, I just don't. Even Jordan Binnington, he's probably your biggest question mark. What is he going to be this year? You know, I look at this team and the work the GM's done, and I'm in awe, because it's not just a few years ago, you guys lost your captain. You won the Stanley Cup. Everything's like, okay, this is going to where you're going to see the dip. And now he's just like doubled down. He's like, here we go. We're going to get deeper. We're going to get younger players. Like, Brian Elliott, we're going to trade Brian Elliott. That's now Jordan Kyrou. Look at this team. Like, it's an amazing team. Yeah, defense, you wish it was a little bit deeper, but I'd take that forward core. Yeah. I would take that forward core every day.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. That is obviously the highlight. That's the headline, is that 920 goal scorers last year, including Justin Falk, I think, was the ninth. So eight of those forwards, seven of those forwards back this year, David Perron moving on. In and around St. Louis fandom, that's one of the major complaints, is that Perron, who was a favorite and who, you know, was outspoken about enjoying the city and wanting to stick around, is gone now to Detroit. We talked about it a bunch. I always assumed he would be gone at the end of the season. It just didn't make sense. And especially as the season wore on and the scoring was what it was, and the young players stepped up to the way they did across the board, it made no sense to bring him back for four and a half.
Yeah.
It just didn't. Like, the guy is still going to be, I think he's going to probably still put up 20 to 30 goals, and it's not like he's going to fall off, but they are guys like Kyrou, who they've now signed long-term, and they plan on having, you know, that they need money for that. They've got guys like, well, they've signed Buchnevich already. He's going to take up that role. Saad, they've got for a couple of years. Like I said, Tarasenko is playing for a contract. Ryan O'Reilly is playing for a contract, but Robert Thomas, presumably taking that, has already been signed long-term. Then you've got Shen on the third line, who is probably the only contract that I really am disturbed at, but he's still playing really well in his role. But it's a lot of money for a number of years. It could get ugly. But then you got guys like Neighbors coming up. You got Trobchenko, Barbashev. It's the forwards I'm not worried about.
Mm-hmm.
The back end, I'm a little bit less worried than I have been, because Nick Leddy, who I famously was not in love with the trade, his pairing with Parayko last year, well, outwardly not as flashy, really actually increased a lot of the success rates of everything across the board for them. Even his numbers weren't that great, but his impact out there, it was quite a bit. And working with Parayko, allowing Parayko to just to be the player he can be, it works really well. I think that second line pairing is kind of more of a video game pairing. I just don't think Krug and Falk make much sense in the way that they play hockey as a pairing. And then you get deeper than that. I mean,
it's a lot of
Scandell is a, yeah, exactly. It's a lot of offense on one line. And so it doesn't really work for me that well. But they're both pretty talented hockey players in general. And this is a team that's probably going to be trying to score a lot of goals most nights anyway. So it works out. Third line pairing is what it is. And Scandell and Perunovic potentially would have been in this top six. It is what it is. But the goaltending is the question. You touched on it. And, you know, looking around at other people in the space, other writers, podcasters, just hockey minds in general, a lot of people are looking at St. Louis as having regression this year, because they have 920 goal scorers, unheard of. Jordan Binnington had a bit of a weak regular season, and Husso stepped up and played fantastic. No one, I think, is expecting Thomas Grace to do what Husso did last year. I think we're all hoping and expecting is that Binner finds it this year. And if he doesn't, then they're in real trouble for the season. And that's where that regression comes into, because there's no safety net there for him anymore. As a fan of the team, I believe that belief is maybe not all completely placed in reality, but with the forward core, with the potential in that D, and with some of the young guys coming up, this is a team that is situated to possibly contend this year in the playoffs. I think they're in the playoffs.
Oh, easy.
If things break right, they could challenge. I mean, they gave Colorado all they could handle last year, all that silliness aside. But they're also in a great position to make moves in the future and kind of roll through, depending just the way the contracts are coming out in the next year or two. But yeah, it'll be interesting for me. It'll be very stressful because I don't really know what's going to happen. But like you said, I think St. Louis is very much in that team, that group of four or five teams that some of them are going to miss the playoffs, and they're all really good. Some of them are going to miss. So I think there's only going to be four teams out of the Central this year. And so, yeah, it's going to be tough. So the last team that we have to talk about, and I think it makes sense, the soon-to-be defending Stanley Cup champions, the Colorado Avalanche. This is a team that I think most other teams saw the key player turnover that they have, more people would be concerned. But, you know, losing Kemper was never there long-term anyways, and he was never he had a great year statistically, but he was never it wasn't his best hockey that he's ever played. Now they've got Francois, who's also still going to be back there as this really solid 1B number two. They're betting that Gorgiev has what it takes to be a number one, or at the very least a 1A.
Mm.
And that center depth took a really big hit with Nazem Kadri. Yeah. They replaced it with a lot of talent, and arguably their young defense that was so good last year could take a step forward. Makar, I think we all expect him to challenge for the Norris this year and to keep it up.
And for the heart.
That defense, I think, is probably the best decor in hockey right now. So much depth, so much talent. Can play, you know, any type of hockey that you want with what they've got back there. I think their forward core is really good, highlighted by the top end talent with even with Landeskog out right now for a little bit. I don't think there's any question that they're back to being a contender for the Stanley Cup, that they're a contender for the President's Trophy, that they'll probably win the division. There are questions, but I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable saying that they got a great chance to run it back.
I think we're not crediting the impact that Nazem Kadri and Burakovsky had on the Colorado Avalanche. And I don't think anybody's arguing that their defense is not elite. Kale McCarr, I put Kale McCarr for winning the Hart. I just think he's going to be electric. But keep in mind that the heavy lifting Nazem Kadri did when Nathan McKinnon was battling injuries last year.
Yeah.
Like, heavy lifting. Now you've also taken a 25-goal scorer out of your second line in Burakovsky and replaced him with Evan Rodriguez, who basically signed like the last coming, like last couple of days of free agency. I love the player. He's had one really good year, and it was a breakout year in a contract year. Alex Newhook, I think, is respectable. I think I'd rather have see Alex Newhook playing a third line for a couple more years, or at least one more year, instead of like playing him against some tougher matchups as a second line center. The second, third, and fourth line of the Colorado Avalanche are not special at all. Defense, super special. First line, especially maybe the second line when Landeskog gets back, he'll probably slot in and play center. He's done it before. Will be a lot better. The goaltending, I'm not high on that goaltending, man. I know you are. You like Gorgiev. I'm just not high on it. I don't think Gorgiev really did anything to cement himself in New York. He's been on the rumor mill for years there. Is this another Scott Darling? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying Colorado's missing the playoffs. I'm not saying Colorado's missing the playoffs at all. I'm just saying from the teams we've seen in previous years of the Colorado Avalanche, this is not the strongest one, not even close. And that's what happens when you win Stanley Cup and everybody gets paid. That's literally what happens.
Yeah.
Nichushkin, stud. Yeah, I could easily see them not winning their division too. I just would think with Landeskog out and their question marks around their goaltending, even though I imagine their defense is going to be a huge help. Yeah, 2-1 or 2, their division, maybe. That's where I am. I'm just not as high on them as others.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not a top five team.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you think of the Colorado Avalanche the past years, every year you could be like, yeah, number one or number two out of the whole league. I just don't think they're that. I just think when you take out two really good players and we gave Seattle credit for Burakovsky and we gave Calgary credit for Kadri, right? Like, well, I'm not going to give Colorado credit for losing both of them. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. They made their choice. They chose Nichushkin, and rightfully so. He was a beast in the playoffs. But you're going to see that fall back.
Yeah, I feel you. I think that where you'll see it fall back, if it stays the same, is the playoffs. I think that having the top two lines that they have and having the defense that they have, I think that they might not hit the point totals they did last year, but I think they did so well last year that they could regress and still lap several teams. You know, I think there's a lot of talent unproven and they have to build chemistry in that bottom six, but I still think that it is there and it can be, you know, developed, especially when you've got those other guys around them. You know, you do often see that when you've got a lot of great players surrounding you, it helps you raise that own, like, raise your level, and the expectation that you're going to be better can be inspiring, especially when you've got Nathan McKinnon acting as your nutritionist. I mean, their defense is just insane.
Insane.
It's insane. And I think it's especially interesting that, I mean, Eric Johnson is at $6 million this year and he's playing, I think, their third pairing, which is fine. He's off the books next year unless he decides to stick around. Probably prime for retirement, especially if they have another long run. Why not? But $6 million coming off the books next year, of course, a lot of that's going to be going to Nathan's pocket. This is what they have, though. They've got their top players locked up, and they've got their, you know, bottom six and their depth being cycled. That when need be, they bring in a younger, cheaper talent to try to make it happen. And that's exactly what championships do, teams do to try to get through year after year. I think goaltending is where they're saving a bunch of money because they're paying under five and a half for both guys. And I think that they're good enough, either one of them, for them to challenge and to win most nights. But yeah, if neither of those guys steps up and steals it, and especially if Gorgiev doesn't, you know, hit the expectation, then they might be pretty vulnerable in the playoffs. But I don't know. I feel like that it's going to make sense. I feel like they're also in a position that if they have to, they could pull a trigger and make something, bring in some depth post trade deadline, even if it's just a rental to help fill in that gap. So.
Oh yeah, I think when we get to the trade deadline, there's going to be the Colorado Avalanche narrative is going to change huge.
Yeah,
it just is. So.
Yeah. It'd be exciting. I mean, if nothing else. Hockey's back. It's not going to stop us from noticing all the horrible things that are coming up every other day.
Yeah. You
know, Ian Cole, Hockey Canada destroying now just the entirety of our grassroots system. I guess we're going to start a Canada hockey organization. I don't know. The fact that all of that even is still going on to the degree that it is with Andrea Skinner stepping down as a volunteer role. Like, I don't understand how, no way that had to be a volunteer. There had to be a money, some kind of income.
Oh my there. Gosh.
It's ridiculous to me to assume there wasn't, whether it was contractually or under the table, whatever her stated role or goal was supposed to be in that job had to be assumed a failure, unless it was just to stall and pause. But it's insane. Absolutely insane. But we've got product on the ice that we can at least enjoy that offsets the horrendous, horrible things that are constantly happening off ice that we need to address and have taken care of. So.
Agree.
Huzzah!
Agree. Well, that was one of our longer pods.
It was.
Thank everybody for listening to our sweet angelic voices. Kind of. I think mine's a little bit more raspier, but that's okay. Anyways, this is our terrible intro. From myself, 6'7", 230-pound Twigs, to 5'9", 180, Mitts. We'll see you next week, cuties.
Yeah, just remember, it's like Little John. It's an ironic name.
Peace out.